When it comes to Daniel, Daniel 6:3, it says something about him. Then this Daniel was preferred above, you might want to underline preferred, above the princes, presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Amen. Underline, an excellent spirit was in him. And then the king thought to set him over the whole realm, which you could just put a word right at the end of that verse right out there, promoted. I'm interested in natural things, in spiritual things, anything. I'm interested in being promoted. I'm interested in going from where I am to where I want to be. And then also it says here he was preferred. We'll look at a verse in a few minutes, maybe, seeing how this goes. It says that Daniel was prospered. God prospered him. And you read the story of the lion's den, he was also protected. All because of excellence in life and in spiritual things. He was preferred, he was promoted, he was prospered, he was protected. The four P's of excellence. Amen. I'm interested in promotion. Yeah. I'm interested in being preferred over others. If you're on your job, you ought to be interested in being preferred over others, which brings promotion, which brings, the prosperity. Can you say amen? You could say this is the four P's of prosperity, but we're talking about excellence this morning. And he was protected. You know, whenever he was falsely accused, that could not take him down. Because he was excellent. Amen. So, we're going to look at this morning. And, in fact, just go to Daniel. Well, you can just write down Daniel 5:12. It also says he had an excellent spirit there and said some other things about it. But this excellent spirit, I believe, is the spirit of man. But yet, we know that Daniel had the Holy Spirit moving in his life. You can look through his story and you can see knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and visions by the Spirit. Isn't that right? You can see an effective prayer life. He prayed and had an effective prayer life. You can see that he had the miraculous. He had angels in their ministry, ministering to him. You see him operating in the spirit of seeing and knowing. And the anointing, all those things I just described is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you say amen? So, because of, it says here he had an excellent spirit. You could say that was because he had the Holy Spirit in his life. But I know people who have the Holy Spirit in their life who have not developed in excellence. You know what I'm talking about. Excellence is really one of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you might say, well, I read Galatians 5 and it doesn't say anything about excellence. But it does say, against such, there is no law. In other words, there are other things. In other words, against such things. There's other things beyond what he said. Virtue is one of them mentioned in the Bible. And virtue is moral excellence. Yeah. So this is, I believe, one of the fruit of the Spirit. Because a man's born again, this comes into his spirit. Y'all still out there? And so, but you and I, like any fruit, has to be developed. You and I have got to develop excellence. Some of us were not raised in excellence. Maybe we were raised in excellence in one area, but not another area. When the Spirit of God is yielded to and the new nature is yielded to, it'll take us out of, whatever the opposite of excellence is, sloppiness, low integrity, all these things. It'll take you out of these things and bring you into an excellence in all areas, morally, in natural things. In spiritual things, excellence in and skillfulness in not worrying anymore, being led of the Spirit. Oh, I want to get, this is one of the things in my heart this year, becoming more skilled in following the Holy Ghost. And in faith, excellence in faith, excellence in walking in love, excellence in keeping my tongue. All the husbands and wives said, hallelujah. And so, the Spirit led Daniel right into this excellence. And this is really a part of the character of God. It's the characteristics of God. No one that just thinks about it expects whenever they go to heaven to see sloppy streets, yards unkept, houses that weeds are growing up. I mean, nobody expects any of that. They expect something way beyond anything we have on earth. They just intuitively know God's an excellent God. And so that's part of his character. And that character is in the believer. That's part of the born-again human nature. Born-again spirit nature. Amen. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But it's got to be cultivated. Everyone wants what Daniel had. Promoted, prospered, preferred, so forth, protected. Nobody could take him out because he had integrity. They want what he had, but... this verse says that there was a reason he had what he had, and that was the excellence that he walked in. Isn't that right? So God, here's what we need to understand to get started this morning. God is not the one who determines whether we have an excellent spirit. If you haven't written anything down yet, that would be the first thing to write down right there. Hey, God is not the one who determines whether we have an excellent spirit. Amen. God made every one of us to succeed. Amen. He put greatness on the inside of every born-again child of his. There's grandness on the inside. There is huge success living on the inside of you. There is supernatural above and beyond all that anybody around you could ask or think, greatness on the inside of you through the new birth. There is wisdom beyond natural wisdom. There are creative ideas on the inside of your spirit. And it can bring you into an excellence that produces all these promotions and preference and so forth, like we just mentioned. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if we work at what we're called to, because each of us are called to different things, you know, there's a unique path for all of us to walk in to get to the place of prosperity, promotion, and so forth. You might be called to do something different than I'm called to do. Or you might be called to do something I'm not called to do. It's not a higher than or lesser than. It's whatever God's called us to do. There's a unique path that he set before all of us. But regardless of that, whatever our call is, whatever the plan of God is for our lives, if we'll work at it with an excellent spirit like Daniel did, I'll guarantee you it'll be a short period of time, we start rising to the top. Somebody's going to take notice of the fact that we are excellent at our work, that we go beyond the job description written on the page whenever we got hired. Somebody's going to eventually notice it. And it won't be long. I'll tell you this. It's not hard to stand out in our culture. Amen. What just to you ought to be standard practice, doing extra, you know, whenever you have a company vehicle, whenever you bring it back, you know, get the mud off of it or something, just something standard practice. You wash the bugs off the windshield in the summertime. But you're different than the rest of them. And you're looking to learn how your boss thinks, and you want to help him out and do little things to help him out. Well, others will say you're doing it out of trying to buddy up. You're trying to be, you know, get the inside track with him. No, you're just walking out of the excellence of the living God who lives on the inside of you. And if that puts other people to shame, if that makes them look worse than you, so be it. They've got the opportunity to rise up just like you do. And if they're too spiritually lazy or dead spiritually to walk in the light of it, well, then stay broke. I'm going for all that God has for me. I'm going to go ahead and preach this morning. Amen. Somebody's going to notice it. It's not hard to stand out in this culture. After a while, you're going to be running the whole department. And after a while, the boss is going to say, you know what? I'm going on a month vacation. You run it while I'm gone. Yeah. What most people don't realize is they're saying, well, I need a pay raise if that's the case. Pass the test. Just pass the test. And see what happens when he gets back. I bless you with some holy water right there. Amen. If you got an excellent spiritual, do it with joy. Amen. Praise God. It's you and I that position ourselves for promotion. God's waiting on us. You see some things about Daniel and looking at his story, and I won't take the time to look at every verse this morning. I just want to pass by this quickly. But there's a few things that caused him to have an excellent spirit. Number one, he had an excellent, uncompromising faith. Now, whenever they made the law, remember they passed that new law, if you know this story, that anybody who worships, all the other presidents and whatever you call them, senators maybe we call them in our culture, all the other ones wanted to get to Daniel because he was preferred and he was promoted, you know? And so they're trying to get to him, and they could not find any fault in his character. You know, it ought to be that if not that believers ought to be digging for dirt. That's a lack of excellence. Amen. But the world does things like this. And it ought to be if the world goes after you or me, they can't find anything. They cannot find anything. If they checked all our internet and everything we've watched, they ought not to be able to find anything. Amen. If they checked everything about our finances and all our dealings, how we pay our bills, they ought not to be able to find anything. They ought not find that we're late all the time. Come on. This is called excellence. But really, the main thing that they couldn't find anything like that on Daniel, but the main thing that they decided to do in order to catch him was to change the law and make it sit to where anybody who worships a golden image of the Nebuchadnezzar, that they would be thrown to the lion's den. Well, they knew. They passed that law just to get Daniel, just to trap him. And they knew, because how many of you can hear, smell jealousy? Yeah. He's being promoted, and so they try to cut him down. You know, if people are trying to cut you down, it's because usually a jealousy. If politicians would just learn that. Amen. Well, so they went after him in the area of his worship of God, which they knew he would not compromise on. You remember that? And you remember the very next, after, I had the verses written down here somewhere, I don't see them right in front of me, but the day after they passed the law, Daniel did the exact same thing he had been doing. He prayed, he left the window open, and they could see him praying. And otherwise, what is that? That's an uncompromising faith that will not change the standards that we have because of we're living by principles. Not by our culture. Your Christian is to affect your culture, not your culture to affect your Christian. Culture doesn't change Daniel. Laws, pressure, jealous people doesn't change Daniel. Inconvenience didn't change Daniel. Are you out there? You going home? He would not bow down and worship an idol. He refused to do it because he worshiped God. And he wouldn't put them before an idol before God. He wouldn't change. That's an uncompromising faith. And we could go for the whole service and even beyond on that. But here's another area of excellence. He had excellent habits. He had a habit of praying every day. If a person's going to be excellent and have an excellent spirit, they have to develop habits. Yeah. Or let's rephrase that, develop right habits. Jesus had habits. He had habits of going to church.
Amen.
Amen. He had a habit, whenever the synagogue was meeting, he would go to the Bible said, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. He had habits. Good church attendant habit. What about a prayer life habit? What about a habit of, holding your tongue? Well, my point is, I'm not here to talk about good habits this morning. We've got other things to get to. But that's another area. In order to develop an excellent spirit, you have to develop excellent habits.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How about having excellent friends? The people he hung with, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had the same uncompromising faith that wouldn't compromise. Remember that they didn't bow either. They had the same uncompromising faith. You know who you hang out with affects you.
Yes.
Young people learn that. Who you hang out with affects you. You start looking like them eventually. You start talking like them eventually. You think like them eventually. Good or bad. So that's another whole sermon in and of itself. We'll skip right now. How about hanging around an excellent God? Daniel prayed. He spent time with God. He's hanging out with God.
Yep.
I don't mean that irreverently, hanging out when I say that, but he's spending time in God's presence. He had a prayer life. I mean, who's he talking to? The one that can turn water into wine? The one that can heal the leper? Isn't that right? The one that can raise the dead, split the Red Sea, and, oh, by the way, deliver a person from hungry lions in a lion den. Yeah, when he was thrown to the lion, or right before he was thrown to the lion's den, he didn't say, man, I better catch up on my prayer life. Now it's life or death. Oh, God, forgive me. No, that was already a practice. He was already in fellowship with God. He didn't need to have emergency tongues. He didn't need to call the prayer line. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, pray. It's getting serious. Just saying. Well, praise the Lord. When it comes to excellence, one of the biggest problems people have is complacency. Complacency is a refusal to improve. God has not called us to the status quo.
Thank you.
Amen. If I could get that out. God has not called us to the status quo. What have you done this week to change things to be the way you want them to be? Well, I'm just in the routine. I got a job. I got a family. I got this. I got that. Well, that's what you've been doing for 20 years. Have you put any effort towards anything being different? Maybe your finances, maybe your marriage, something. Well, anyway, I guess it's the conviction. It got quiet. But that's people's biggest problem, is complacency. Write that down. Complacency is a refusal to improve. It says, I'm satisfied with the situation just simply because I'm not motivated to do anything that would make it any different. Amen. I'm not motivated to be anything more than I am right now. If you don't have the skills to get a better pay scale, to be paid on a better pay scale, get them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's one of the things David did. I keep saying David. Daniel did.
Yeah.
If you read, he was very 10 times wiser in science and math and all these areas. Now, I'm called to preach, so I don't need to know much about science and math. But in the areas I'm called, I get skills. I'm looking for. I watch people who are skillful. I learn from people who are skillful. I study these things. I pay attention to I listen to my own audio sometimes, not because, it is good. But I listen to make sure the tone of my voice is right. I listen to make sure I got the point across. You know, I'm critiquing myself, not condemning myself. We're always looking to improve. I know when I first started, I realized it was painful listening to myself preach. Painful. Painful. But I said, okay, I can do better. I can do better. But in your life, how about your life? All right. So complacency is just being satisfied. People have given up so many times. They've just given up. It's never going to be any different. Oh, it can be different. Yeah, but I'm 55. Oh, who said that matters? Come on. Some people are just lazy. I didn't say you. I said some people are just lazy. I don't know if it's you. Might be. It might not be. Complacency is akin to mediocrity. It says, I'm okay with being average and doing just enough. This is a big problem in the church world today. And I'll tell you why. Because of an emphasis on grace. A wrong emphasis on grace. Grace does not replace excellence. It enables it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Grace does not replace excellence. People say, well, we're under grace. So, and what I notice is they get sloppy. In everything, sloppy in their thought life, sloppy in excellence, sloppy in their dress, sloppy, lazy with their flesh and their thought life. And grace does not replace excellence. Grace does not replace living in the Spirit, which that's what excellence is too. It's the life in the Spirit rather than life in the flesh. The flesh wants to be lazy. The flesh wants to be sloppy. The flesh wants to be late. The flesh wants to be dirty. The flesh doesn't want to, you know, take a bath. The flesh, you know what I'm talking about. The flesh doesn't want to take the lint roller to your clothes and get the cat hair off. But excellence does. I said excellence does. Well, we went ahead and started meddling right there. Complacency is okay, being okay with just being average and just doing enough to get by. Complacency is the C student that expects people to award them simply because they didn't get a D. Brother Andre wants to hear it again. All right. Complacency is the C student. They just sit there on the C and they don't really press into A's. Come on now. Expects people to award them simply because they didn't get a D. Listen, one of the biggest curses of our day is participation trophies. You participated, you get a trophy. Nobody ever reaches. Whenever that kind of mentality gets in, nobody reaches. Nobody presses. Paul said that the spirit of faith has a press spirit. It has a reach to it. Don't train your children with that. Take their participation trophy in the backyard and burn it and say, I don't care that your teacher gave you that. We didn't train you that way at home. Well, what if they cry? Teach them. Yeah. Teach them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Smash it with a hammer.
Thank you.
I know some of you don't think I'm serious. I'm serious. Complacency is an employee that shows up just to do their job description but never seeks to improve any skills or to do anything beyond that. Complacency is a Christian that does just enough to keep their conscience clear. It's the helps minister that thinks because it's the ministry, it's okay to be sloppy or mediocre. God's not called us to complacency. He's called us as the body of Christ to set the standard. He's called us to set the standard. Hallelujah. He's called us to be excellent. Now again, Daniel 6:3 here, we see this. He had such an excellent spirit that he distinguished himself above all the others in the kingdom. He stood out. And that's why the king wanted to promote him. He stood out. Come on. And of course, you know, that made the other guys mad. And, you know, they're saying, how dare the king point him out? You know, we've been working here longer. In fact, he's a foreigner. What about immigration? Bring in the people that outdo the Americans. That's what I say. Make the Americans step up, see. We've been lazy. We've had it too good. Yeah, well, praise the Lord. You didn't expect that this morning, did you? No, we've been here longer. He's a foreigner. These other guys, they can say all these things. They can say, we're older. We're more experienced. We got a greater education. All that might have been true. You'd realize that. But one thing they didn't have was an excellent spirit. In other words, they might have talked behind the king's back. Daniel wouldn't do that. What do you talk about concerning your boss? There's a verse in Proverbs that talks about he that has an excellent spirit, he holds his tongue. I didn't write that one down. That's just one I didn't write down. So when you have an excellent spirit, sometimes it doesn't matter what's on your resume. Huh? You'll find yourself sitting at tables and walking through doors that usually only other people who are more qualified are able to get in. I'm not preaching against getting an education. I'm not preaching against, you know, education that qualifies you for certain things. I'm not preaching against that. But listen, if you have all that and don't have excellence, people with excellence will go right past you. People with excellence will go right past you. We got all the equipment to be excellent. We got the new birth. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the nature of our new created, born, recreated, born again human spirit. Isn't that right? Praise God. We're all to be interested in increase. Yes. I don't know that the body of Christ sees this right. I don't think the body of Christ thinks right in line with God about these things. If you don't see it the way, remember the two parables, there's a couple parables actually, Jesus gave of the king who went into a far country and gave talents to the servants. You remember that? And do you notice his response towards those that increased it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What about the ones that did nothing with it? He called them wicked. That's not most people's mentality. What was the wickedness? I didn't increase what I had. I didn't reach. I was complacent. I didn't use what I was given to get more for the kingdom of God. That's a different attitude. I mean, that's a different word. Wickedness is a different word towards not increasing than most people think. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So Daniel was preferred because he distinguished himself. He stood out. Listen, there's enough mediocre people on the planet. Amen. Enough obscure people on the planet. There's enough, you could say it this way, there's enough of those even in the body of Christ. We don't need another one. Let's not be another one. What do you say? Why don't we stand out? It's on the inside of us. I said it's on the inside of us. We got to cultivate it. And I'll say this, crucify the fleshly nature that wants to just be lazy and not cultivate it. So there is from these verses such a thing as an excellent spirit. Let's just go through some practical things on the natural side that'll help you be excellent. Pull your toes back under your chair. Excellence is being the same behind closed doors as in public. I don't believe as a minister I should be a faith man in the pulpit and full of unbelief in the privacy of our own home. I don't believe I should preach on walking in love and then criticize people behind closed doors. Amen. Excellence is being the same behind closed doors as you are in public. Excellence, because of time today, I'm going to keep on moving. You could take each one of these and make a sermon out of it. Excellence is doing things right. I was raised with the mentality naturally and spiritually. My natural father and Brother Hagin and Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, those we have submitted to spiritually, with the mentality that if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Amen. Amen. It's worth doing right. You know, just doing it sloppy just to get by is not excellence. You know, the old adage or whatever, just sweeping the dirt under the rug, that's not excellence. Get it out of the house. Amen. And that's just an example that can apply to so many areas of our life. Let's keep on moving for time's sake. Excellence is staying out of debt. Now, we realize I'm not preaching against having any debt, but what I'm saying is just having the habit, because we're not believing God and we're living beyond our faith, and so we just keep racking up debt. That's a bad habit, and it's not excellence. Excellence means we're not sloppy with our finances. It means we don't pay our bills late. I think, if my memory serves me right, there might be a couple of other ones I'm not thinking about, but we got witnesses. Teresa's a witness. I don't know that the church has ever paid a bill late, except when something got returned because an address got changed or something like that. But we were there on time. There might be some other, it was usually because of something like that, but never because, well, we're just not going to pay that bill. Never. And that's the way all believers should live. Amen. And not just taking advantage of people and not paying our bills. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it. There's been a couple of times Pastor Debbie and I's paycheck was, I just held it and didn't deposit it. Because I want to get the other bills paid. Because the Bible says, have a good report of them that are without. Right. I got faith. Maybe they don't. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Amen. So that's just a whole area in and of itself. Excellence is being organized.
Amen.
You ever heard the saying, your lack of organization and planning does not constitute an emergency on my part? Some people's lives are just frantic because of a lack of excellence. They don't plan ahead, they don't think ahead, they're not organized, and so things come up that surprise them, that everything's last minute, and everything's unplanned, and so it's always, they just live in a state of anxiety and frenetic activity, and their whole lives would just calm down and take on a new measure of peace if they would just get organized. Have a file where all the bills are due go, and have a way to organize and have a budget. List them on a piece of paper. If you can't remember, you know what I'm talking about. Have things organized, and don't send it at the last minute. Send it ahead, way ahead.
Amen.
Anyway, excellence is organized. If that's another whole sermon. Excellence is being skillful in everything. Now, you realize we're all reaching for all these things. None of us have arrived at all these things. But we should be reaching for skillfulness, both in natural things and in spiritual things. Excellence keeps the car clean inside and out.
Amen.
Amen. It always stands out to me when I go to preach somewhere and somebody picks me up and there's clutter on the floorboard and so I'm like, oh, brother. Okay. Not about me personally. It's not about I gotta have a limo or something. It's not about that at all. It's just the lack of excellence. I know I'm getting ready to run into a lack of excellence. Everything's an afterthought. You know, oh, we didn't think of this. Oh, we didn't think of that. I know that's what I'm getting ready to run into. Anywho. By the way, inside and out, the car, inside and out. One of the biggest challenges right now is that Pastor Debbie and I live on a dirt road, and our new house is on a gravel road. which isn't near as bad as the one we live in. Anyway, our gravel road's nice. We're going to get it paved. I want to get it paved because I can't stand dirty cars. That's why we got two white ones. You notice that it's white. I mean, they can wash it one day, and I drive out the driveway, and poof, looks like the pigs were out there running around. Anyway, that's all free. Okay, I'm going to duck now. Excellence is dressing clean, being sharp, clothes altered to fit, no cat hair, no wrinkles. Being color coordinated.
Thank you.
Just being good looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
This ain't spiritual. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The outside indicates what's going on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, just being good looking gets people places. And don't tell me you don't have much to work with. God didn't create nobody ugly. That's bad English, but nobody ugly. Sin makes people ugly. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know which one. So I don't have anybody in mind. I'm not thinking of anybody, to be honest. That's excellent truth. This is one of the reasons I don't subscribe to the dress down church. You know what I mean? Excellence is making the bed every morning. Because what if Jesus walked in? Oh, pastor. No, pastor. Yeah, pastor. That's what I'm being, pastor. What's that going to change? It's going to help start changing something in you. It affects a person to live in a sloppy house. It starts affecting you. Now, one of the challenges I'm having right now is we're getting ready to move, packing boxes. And you know how much of a challenge it is for me to have a house full of boxes? That's a challenge. And our garage right now is like, can't hardly stand it. Because it's not enough, and it's not big enough, and but see, that's temporary. Anyway, everybody's still happy. Say amen.
Amen.
Do you know that everything should have a place in your house, and when you're done, it goes back in its place? Don't you teach the kids that? But what are you teaching them by practicing something different? Yes. Selah. Amen. If you're a person that always continuously can't find things, this is the reason why right here. It doesn't have a place, and when you're done, you don't put it back in its place. That's free. I didn't charge you anything for that. Excellence means being on time. Saying I'll be there at 7 doesn't mean 7:03 or 7:05. Amen. And then make excuses. Oh, come on. Don't get me on that one now. There is no excuse whenever it happens over and over again. One off, okay. There was an accident on the highway. I couldn't, you know, we all understand those things. But we ought to practice, just practice being, plan on being there 10, 15 minutes early or something. Because invariably little things happen. You hit the stoplights wrong, so forth and so on. Oh, I ran late. Well, what about the last 27 times? Making excuses is not good. That doesn't fly with me. Whenever it's constant. All right. Everybody still happy over here? This will help you. 70% of all frantic activity and frantic anxiety could be eliminated out of some people's lives if they just develop the habit of planning to leave 10 or 15 minutes earlier than they really need to. Or live that way in all the different arenas of their life. Excellence means not sending emails with grammatical mistakes or misspelled words in them. I'm talking to the staff right now. About 70% of emails I get have grammatical mistakes. And you might say you see some in my mind too, but that's fine too. I'll have to keep on working on it. Amen. Spell check does some funny things. What was that the other day? I sent somebody a rejoicing with you, and it said something. Was that you, Vanessa? Who sent me? Was that you? Where's Vanessa? Was that, I sent rejoicing with you or something on a testimony you sent. What did it come back? Recoiling with you. That's a lack of excellence to not just take a second and read that.
Seriously, yes. Yes.
Come on. Yeah.
Recoiling with you. Ooh. Ooh. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 in the Amplified talks about accuracy, not being vague. Excellence is accurate. Being accurate. I work on this in quoting other people. I don't want to misquote somebody and then make them say something they didn't say. I want to be accurate. Amen. Because it's really not fair to quote somebody wrong. Amen. So, accurate. If you ever studied the word faithfulness in the Bible, faithfulness is not just whatever, you know, being there every service or whatever. Faithfulness literally means accurate. Executing instructions exactly like they were given. David was a man after God's own heart. And God rejected Saul because he would not follow instructions just like God gave him instructions. He came up with his own ideas. He mixed his own plans with what God said. Remember, God said, kill all the sheep and all the animals and all the rebellious, you know, enemies that they were in battle with. But he had a better idea. Remember, well, we'll keep the sheep for offerings and sacrifices. That's a lack of faith. That's unfaithful. Because that's not following instructions exactly like it was given. You ever heard of somebody say something like a faithful rendition of the Constitution or something like that? That means every T is crossed, every I is dotted, every comma is in the exact same place as the original Constitution. It's faithful to the original. Amen? It's exact. It's just like the original. And faithful to God means doing following instructions accurately. Or following leadership's instructions accurately. It's all true. That's called, David was called a man after God's own heart. And Acts 13, 21 through 22 says that God called David because he will fulfill all my will. In other words, he won't be like Saul to do his own thing. He'll do exactly what I tell him to. Why? He had an excellent spirit too. He was faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody still here? Can you handle any more? Unfaithfulness carries spiritual sloppiness and low standards. It's inaccurate. It's not exact. It leads to failure, poverty, and being rejected, and others being promoted. Amen. Another thing about excellence, it's doing the word skillfully. We already kind of covered that. But excellence knows not what the word says, not just what the word says to do, but it knows how to do it. You get good at it. Now you get better at it as you practice. God will work out the, you know, the kinks or whatever, how we say it, the quirks. He'll get it all. But see, if we don't start practicing the word, we don't get to that place of excellence. I've learned as much about walking by faith by just doing it as I have from reading the Bible. In fact, when I'll be honest with you, whenever I'm in the middle of it and I'm reading my Bible, the Bible comes much more alive because it's like, oh, that's exactly right now what I'm learning right there. Amen. There are just some things you don't learn by just reading the Bible or coming to church. At least not to the level we want to learn it. Isn't that right? All right. Can you still handle some more? Philippians 1:10 in the Amplified says, he wants us to surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and best and distinguishing the moral differences. So he said there what excellence is, and one of the things he said is it learns what is priority. What's important in any given situation. You know, for example, in relationships, when you start becoming excellent at relationships, it becomes more, peace in the relationship becomes more important than winning. I had to learn that one. Any other men in here have to learn that one? This just isn't worth it. In fact, I got to the place I looked at myself and said, that's stupid. I don't know about you. I'm not calling you stupid. I just look at myself. That's dumb. Yeah. Acting that way over this little thing. It's not excellent. Take, for example, in ministry. People are more valuable and more important to God than money. Their well-being and them being able to receive and so forth and so on is more important than anything financially. And you could go on and on through life. There's things that are more, that are higher and more important than what sometimes we're struggling over. And so that's an excellent spirit. You still out there? Praise the Lord. Let's end up by talking about moral excellence in character. First, let's go to 2 Peter 1, 3, first of all. This verse talks about what we called a few moments ago, virtue. Poke your neighbor and say, I love this pastoral preaching. We talk about prosperity and believing God for prosperity. These things will be a foundation for our faith in this. In faith for prosperity. It has to be built on these kinds of things. And 2 Peter here, he talks about some of these things. Verse number 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we're people of faith, and here's some things to add to it. First thing he said, virtue. Then he goes on, virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. That's the love walk. And he said, verse 8, these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacks these things is blind, can't see afar off, and has forgotten he's been purged from his old sins. We could take a whole lot of time. Pastor Nancy's got a wonderful series of teachings on this. But I just wanted, the very first thing he said, I want to focus in on, add to your faith, very first thing, virtue. Virtue. Virtue, in the definition, if you look it up, means moral character or excellence. Moral character or moral excellence. So, if you do enough studying on it, you'll find that it doesn't just mean now and then. It means a habit along this line. It's a well-established habit. You wouldn't call a person virtuous who every now and then, you know, falls into adultery. I'm just using that illustration in an area we all can understand. But that's true in all these areas of character. It's something that we develop to where it's the way we live. It's not just something we do every now and then, not just something we do in public or when people see us. It's how we live behind closed doors. Amen. It's just a well-established disposition towards excellence in character in that area. Amen. In fact, the Greeks says it's more properly should be called habitual excellence. In other words, it's practice over time. In other words, it's not situational ethics. We should be people of integrity whenever it's convenient and when it's not. And whenever it's going to pay off financially and whenever it's going to cause us to lose money. Because there's something more important than money. Praise the Lord. A little different this morning, but I like it. I like it. I like it. Situational ethics involves just what's convenient for the situation. I mean, if the lie will get you out of it and save the hassle of what you're going to have to do if you tell the truth, what you're going to have to go through, then, we'll tell the lie. That's situational ethics. And we don't have to condemn one another. We might have, possibly all of us have done that at one time or another. But excellence means we stop doing that. Listen, when we look in the mirror and it's ugly, but it's us, we get confronted about it, we just say, yeah, I just need mercy. Amen. That's an excellent spirit. Excellence means having a standard or having standards. Do you hear how the Lord said to me, I want you to raise the standard of excellence. Raise the standard of excellence. Can you handle just a little bit more? I'm almost done. We're doing a lot of thinking this morning, aren't we? So it means we live by principles and not on whims. We don't just, whatever's convenient, whatever our flesh wants. There are days I go to prayer in the morning and have my prayer time that it just seems like I'm not getting much out of it. But I don't just say, well, forget this then. Right. No, I got a principle.
Right.
I live by a principle.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I'm out of here. I'm going hunting or something like that, you know. No.
Yeah. That's good.
Amen. I spend my time.
Yeah.
And that's just one example. Of course, that's true in every one of these areas, but or these arenas. Excellence means we don't say one thing and do another. We ought to have a higher standard than the world. And to be honest, even most people in the church world. Seems like the world has gotten into the church and the church has lowered its standards. You know? I would say drastically. But see, God's word is still our standard, even when culture changes or the popular church culture changes or anything like that. Excellence isn't looking to the standards of others to measure our own character. Someone said, well, they go watch R-rated movies. Well, maybe they are young Christians and God hasn't dealt with them about it.
Yeah. Right.
What has he dealt with you about? I remember years ago, Pastor Hagin back at Rhema had a man in, a guest speaker in, and he had a vision, and Pastor Hagin wanted him to share it, and he shared it in the service. He had a vision where Jesus talked to him about his people watching, I think there were three things, honey, can you maybe help me remember? I don't even know if you remember this, but violence on movies and stuff, violence, immorality, and was it cursing was the third one, I think. I'm not sure what the other one was. And Jesus dealt with him that's affecting their spirits. In a vision, he dealt with him about it. Well, you know it's getting bad when Jesus has to visit in a vision to talk to the church about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, it's getting tight in here. Do I have to? No, you don't have to. You get to. You get to have better fellowship with him. You get to. Hallelujah. So what other people do is not our standard. Well, they do this, they do that. They said this, they talk like this, they use this slang. So what? That's their life, not yours. We don't have to condemn them. We're not the Holy Ghost policemen. You know what I'm talking about? Whenever we hear somebody else say something that isn't faith or it's slang and it's whatever, a vulgar joke or something, we don't have to flip our switch and put our siren on. That's not acceptable. That's their life, not our life. But in our life, we live by the standards of the word that God has shown to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're going to be in leadership in the body of Christ, you're going to have to live by an example. Bible talks about leaders being an example to others. I have never had a desire for alcohol. I remember one time when I was a kid, we lived on a country road. And people would go by and throw out cans and all kinds. And I remember one time finding a can of beer out there that hadn't been opened. And so I opened it, and so I was just a kid, probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. I smelled it, and I about gagged, you know. I don't know if it was bad. I don't know if it, maybe out in the heat it went, but I don't know. And then in high school, some friends thought it'd be cool to get some wine, and we'd go drinking. So we went drinking, and they're all drinking it, and I got to be cool. That's dumb, you know, but that's just human thinking. So I tried to drink this stuff, and it came out my nose, out my mouth. I was never tempted with that. So what I'm getting ready to say is not something I'm even desiring. But Pastor Debbie and I have a standard. We don't drink alcohol, like if we're at a restaurant, even in our home, we don't drink it. It's not in our refrigerator. It's nothing because we don't want to cause somebody that's an area that they might stumble. And they see us drinking alcohol, and then, pastor does it so well. Hey, well, see, with us, it's not an addiction, but maybe somebody else it is. And we just cause them to stumble. Amen. So that's an excellent spirit. Well, that's part of what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Excellence makes the way the Spirit showed us to live and walk out the Word our standard. Amen. Not letting other people dictate what our standard is. For believers, we're not competing with other believers to outdo them in our standards. We're competing with our own flesh, our old limiting mentalities, mediocre and status quo. We're pressing the flesh to live, amen, in a different flow than the world and beyond even what people expect, like on our jobs. We got to press ourselves to live beyond what the standard. Well, here's the standard. I could tell you stories of people throughout time here, you know, in different realms of employment, not just here, but, you know, where people, they showed a disdain for the standards. And eventually it got them. You know what I'm talking about. Just trying to be vague. But praise the Lord. Everybody tell your neighbor, pastor's almost done. Praise the Lord. Those who have an unrenewed mind, they don't reach for higher excellence. But those who are renewing their mind, they are constantly pressing the flesh. Constantly pressing the status quo. And their old mentalities. I know this is a lot this morning. I see a lot of you writing a lot of things down. You'll have to get the CD. But excellence looks only at the Word and the way the Spirit has taught us to walk in it, not other people and what they're doing. You know what you're looking at will determine what becomes your standard? You ought to consider what's going on in the other people's lives that you're comparing yourselves to before you say they're your standard. If they're nothing but broke, busted, and disgusted, then why would you want to make their standards your standards? I like to hang around people who challenge me. I go home and get convicted. You know what I'm talking about? I go back to the hotel room if I'm out of town and get convicted. It's like, bless God, all right, get with it. Suck it up, get with it, you know? I love being around that kind of people. I love being around that kind of people. Praise the Lord. We can't rise up to excellence in the Word by putting our attention on the example of others who are sloppy. Page 7. It's almost done. A person may say it's okay for them to do certain things because it's legal. How many of you know legal doesn't make it ethical? There are some things that are higher than that we have to live by that are higher than what's the standard of the law of our nation. Praise the Lord. God has a standard in morality, for example. When we submit to His standard, which is higher than men's, we get to live in places other people don't get to live. In blessings that other people don't get to live. Praise God. I think that's it. We'll stop right there. I have a whole section on excellence in faith, but I think you can feel the, okay, I've taken in as much as I can take in. I can feel that, so. And that's fine. I get that way too in services. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anybody going to get the CD? Did anybody caught it all? No, there was a lot came out this morning. We probably didn't catch it all. So I want to challenge you to always press. Always challenge yourself. Always reach for a higher standard of excellence. Even in natural things. Go home whenever you go home. In fact, you might get in your car and just look around before you go anywhere. How excellent is my car? When you go home, walk in the door. Challenge yourself. I'm going to walk in and look in ways I haven't looked before. It's like, why is that sitting over there? Why is that on the floor? Why? Let's do it. What do you say? Praise the Lord. It's not all just about natural things, but it shows up in natural things. Spiritual things show up in natural things, don't they? Hallelujah. 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 We're considering some hiring here, and I've been saying, Lord, what am I to look for? And this is one of the things He's been talking to me about. Amen. And so we're just looking. Do they read materials whenever they're not in church? Do they go back over the audios? Do they talk to anybody like they are really reading this book or that book? Or, you know, what are they? How do they live? It's not just church to them. This is their life. Amen. So praise the Lord. Excellence. Don't you love it?
Amen.
How many of you had a scrub brush? God got a scrub brush and scrubbed some things out of your spirit and maybe attitude this morning. Hurts so good. Doesn't it hurt so good? I love these, personally myself, I love these kinds of services. They challenge me. They bring me up. People that love you bring you up. Amen.